Welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill, I'm Knife City.
This is Stone Crow.
And that's it.
That'll be it for today.
Our other co-host, Mr. Hot Sauce, is off camping in the wilderness.
Hopefully he dies in a hot spring.
So if you know where he lives, go ahead and raid his place and take advantage of his significant other.
So I'll see you later tonight?
Yep, exactly.
I think she's with him. That makes more sense.
Even better.
They're on vacation.
The dogs are in trouble.
Yes. I'm going for the cat.
Cat's dead, man. Cat's dead.
No, new cat.
Oh, yeah, they got a new cat. That's right. So this is...
This one's actually a girl, too, at least.
Well, that's just saying. That's disappointing. But this is episode 108 of If Lance Could Kill. If you're not familiar with the podcast, we like to dick around for a while before we get to the magic. So let the dicking begin.
The dickingest.
How has your week been going there, buddy?
Pretty good. I mean, I'll let you bring up what happened to our... What the real 108 would have been. This is 109, but 108 because of a lost episode. But since then, I've been having a good time. We had a pre-release that happened. A lot of fun. I've been playing some video games. I I finally rented For Honor from Redbox. And looking at getting that for a little bit, but the Redbox I go to haven't had them, and then finally tracked one down. And the game itself, it's fun. It's fine.
So is that like, old, like...
You play as, like, a knight, a Viking, or a samurai.
Okay. So I watched a little, stream of that game, and just by looking at it, I was like, wow, that's impressive.
Yeah.
But I just wasn't 100% sold on, like, the fighting style of just, like, hack and slash.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's other, like, aspects to it, but I'm not the biggest fan of hack and slash. But I liked how it looked and, like, the third person and everything. Mm-hmm. It seemed cool. How was it?
So, from there, good things on it. Graphics are great. Everything runs very smoothly. There's no glitches in the system. It runs exactly how it wants to do. The fighting system, yes, it is based on hack and slash, which is definitely a problem. However, it has its own little version of hack and slash where you're like the whole time you have to choose, like, you know, as in a triangle attack, whether you're bottom right, bottom left, or top, which directional you're attacking in.
Right.
And then there's also, you know, power attacks and regular attacks. So there's different, like, and the way the system is built, it runs perfectly smoothly for what it wants to do. And so it was very well made in that sense, and
right.
in the graphics of it, and what is going on, and the smoothness of the gameplay, it's spot on. It's great. No complaints there whatsoever.
I feel like I would be entertained only for a short amount of time before I got tired of it.
This is what happened to me exactly. Mm. I went and played it. Was like, this is pretty sweet. You know, it's pretty cool. I like the premise of it. I like what's happening here. Like the different, you know, having that multiplayer fighting game like this, but taking it to an old school level where it's more, you know, it's shields and swords type of shit and whatnot. But then, encounters the problems. It is just that. It becomes, after realizing, okay, that's a cool fighting system, how it's built, it's done well, then it becomes, okay, well, now it is still the exact same thing over and over and over again.
Right.
There isn't really an RPG to it. There is, I believe, so you can play either a Viking, a samurai, or a knight, and there is like four class versions for each particular one of those. So in between, like, you know, berserker or different styles of fighting,
right,
and different, you know, being more of a sleek stealth type of guy, or not necessarily stealth, but more of a fast type of fighter with less health. There are different variations to that. But realistically, after that, though, there really wasn't RPG factors to it for the most part. It was more like, I don't know, it wasn't there. And then it became just a hack and slash.
Yeah, I imagine if there was some sort of like talent tree or customization and maybe a little bit more magic or spell slinging involved.
Zero spell slinging.
Yeah.
Zero.
And I get why they didn't go that direction. They were going for a more straightforward, honest approach to it. But I felt like that was missing.
Yeah, I mean, I feel, yeah, obviously, I agree. That would have helped with the gameplay to get a little more depth, but at the same time, it's still just be a hack and slash. You can do a little spell slinging. So it was like, playing the campaign, I played probably an hour and a half of the campaign, and it's cool. There's a cool story going on. It's fun. It's doing what it wants to do. it's just, I mean, for some people, they're going to love the game. I don't have, like, in-depth things to hate on with the game. Everything about it ran smooth. It's just, for me, I enjoy games that have depth to them, and this is not an in-depth game.
Right.
It is very straightforward. You get what you're getting, and you go through these basic missions, and you fight the minions off, and there's a couple, like, stronger mid guys that you fight off in the middle of these battles, and you have to, like, push back some armies and this and that, and a little, like, capture zones a little bit, and then at the end of each level, you fight, like, the boss of the level. So, like, it is, imagine, like, the hack and slash game you would have loved as a kid, like Dynasty Warriors. I enjoyed that game when I was younger, and that's just a full army hack and slash type of game. If it was that time period, I would have really enjoyed the game. However, nowadays, I'm, more advanced in the game, or I know I'm more into an in-depth RPG type of universe and that kind of deal, and it just doesn't hit the mark on that point.
Yeah. I've just never been a big fan of hack and slash games. I mean, it's basically the same thing as a first-person shooter, except you're just hacking and slashing.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I'm not saying I wasn't, like, fully into Dynasty Warriors, but I enjoyed Dynasty Warriors 4. I had a good time playing through that, but it wasn't like, oh, I have to get every one of the 15 games in this series.
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. There's something. It's like it's just repetitive, and that can be said for, like the Call of Duties and stuff like that. But even
those have. Not necessarily a talent tree, but you unlock better guns, you unlock different styles of play, you can do different things with it.
Right.
And it becomes also more of even hand-to-hand, that's cool, but there's something more about if you're having, like, a first-person shooter multiplayer game where you're actually running around and doing things, you're trying to snipe somebody from a different angle, you're trying to do whatever, and you're grenading them, but it's a little different when you're simply sword attack, shield block, sword attack, shield block.
Oh, I'm going to equip this other shield and then do the exact same attack.
Yeah.
So it's not like, equipping a sniper rifle and then your whole strategy changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, I kind of expected that from that game, but I was pleasantly surprised when I watched a little bit of the stream. I was like, wow, this...
And that's exactly why I wanted to rent it, because of that factor, because I knew I had a feeling it'd be like hack and slash with no depth, but it looked so well made. Yeah. And I know there's some glitch problems that they've apparently had on some multiplayer stuff. I didn't personally run into any of that at all. And so for me, the whole engine ran completely smoothly between campaign and multiplayer. I played the game probably 2.5-3 hours.
Yeah.
Took it back the next day and was like, okay, well, this is what I thought it would be. I mean, I didn't regret renting it.
Yeah.
It was fine to play, and some people will probably love the game, but it just wasn't an in-depth for me game.
Yeah.
So
I would much prefer a, like, God of War type of thing.
Oh, yeah. There's puzzles and all kinds of things going on.
Yeah, puzzles. And there is, like, the sort of hack and slash thing, but it's a lot more puzzle oriented, magic oriented.
And there's special attacks and different weapons you use and some cool, artwork to it, and all this, also the mythology to that too.
Yeah, and so that's what I figured would be missing from this game, and that's what it sounds like is missing.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
From there, also, during that last week, I happened to randomly join a Facebook group that's, about Commander. So we've been playing a little more, just because people are in there talking about things.
That's weird, man. That's weird coming from you.
Yeah, well, it's more like I came across a magic page. It was like, okay, fine, I'll just hit the like button and
get
some updates.
Is it like a San Diego base?
Not at all. It's just a magic commander base.
Just people having discussions.
General. Yeah, and half the time it's people like getting packs or like what I'm going to talk about in a minute here. And just like showing their pulls or having particular questions, like it's like a rules questions type of group too, or like how does this interact, or hey, I'm building this leader of a deck, you have any thoughts on what I should add to this deck? So it's kind of just a community talking point on Commander.
Okay.
A lot of people on there have been going to Walmarts and buying the $20 decks.
Yes. So correct me if I'm wrong, but Walmart and I think Target also.
Target had them too, but I think they're different at Target. Target ones are a little bit different, I believe.
Okay, but it's basically shit that didn't sell, and then they just kind of repack it into this, like, it looks like jank.
That's why I've never bought one before, because I go to those stores and there's certain things, like, I like buying shit. I have an addiction to this game, and so it's like a thing I would check out each time, going like, maybe I buy this, and then I go like, it's gotta be just pure shit.
Yeah, because the packaging is literally just like see through, like plastic bag, sort of very. It's not pretty.
Yeah, it's in a hardcover case. There's a one piece of paper saying like two packs and one deck included, and it just covers everything, so you can't see what packs or what else you're getting in there.
Right, and I actually have been seeing some pictures on Twitter about people pretty much spending $20 and then they get like pretty much a commander deck.
That's what's been mostly in them is commander decks.
And then like some other like random packs like
like fucking
the old school fucking
Abyss and Restored, I think, in some of them. There's also a lot of Dragon Maze and shit in there.
A lot of
like non quality like money packs or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Born of the Gods, Theros type of shit sometimes. So anyways, I was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go ahead and try my luck and buy one. Like, I've seen a bunch of Mallraths pulled, like that commander. And I'm like, well, I'd like to get that one. That'd be cool. And just whatever. I went and bought one. I ended up, unfortunately, I already have this deck because my cousin bought it, so basically I have it now. But at the same time, I got the, from 2015, the mono-colored commanders. I got the green one, the Guided by Nature, the Nissa Planeswalker one. Which, at the same time, I spent $20, I get this deck and two packs go with it. And that deck itself, if you just go to buy that straight up on TCG, not like piecing out the pieces individually, and just go buy that commander deck, it's $50.
Yeah.
So she, $20, get $50 deck.
And I mean, she by herself is like 10 or over.
Yeah, if you actually piece out the pieces individually, the deck it actually sells for more than you buying it as a whole set on there, I believe.
Yeah.
I didn't actually look in depthly, but that's what I heard about the deck, I believe.
Yeah.
So anyways, I was like, you know what? I'm bummed I didn't get like is it Mallrath? What's your token one? The green, white, red.
Because
of the counters.
Yeah, Marath?
Marath. Yeah. Okay, so I was hoping for like that one or something like I hadn't really seen or didn't have. Or also I've been seeing a lot of the Nahiri Lithomancer, the mono white deck played or getting pulled. I'm like, so I was hoping for something different I didn't have. Unfortunately, for me, I got the guy by nature, but still it's a fucking $20 for just value.
Yeah.
There's still soul rings and all kinds of other very playable commander cards in the deck to go with. So I was like, you know what? Cool. You know, eventually I'll probably buy another one because, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Even if I like, I originally bought the black one, the Obnixilus one. Even if I got another one of those, there's still a bunch of playable cards in that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like opening packs, you know, the fun of the luck factor and finding what you get. And like you said, those decks are, I mean, what, they retail for 30, 40 bucks?
36
now?
Bucks, most commander decks go for like Walmart.
If you're buying a $20 thing, you know, like, fuck, dude, I'll take a commander deck and a couple packs.
Yeah.
Is it a full commander deck?
Yes.
They literally just took it out of the box.
Literally, like, you know how the pack comes all sealed in one 100 card little deal? Take it straight out of the box and all the packaging and pre-packaging it has, those are right in there. That's exactly the same. You obviously don't get the big card anymore.
Right.
Like,
right.
They just threw that away probably.
Most
people don't care about
it. The first time I bought a Commander Precon, I used the big card. And then, like, after that, they're just, like, sitting somewhere in my room.
I think my cousin at one point when we first started doing this, he bought a package of like 10 or 15 sleeves, like the large sleeves, and it's like the regular back of a Magic card. It says Magic the Gathering and the Deck Master thing. So that's the back of it. So I actually have sleeves for them. So I have them all sleeved, but they're just thrown in my closet, basically.
Yeah.
Like, so just kind of like a whatever kind of thing.
Just cumbersome, you know, you're trying to carry all your shit around. And yeah. Nice try.
So yeah, I mean, it was pretty cool. Fuck, I was going to say something else. Anyways. I'll probably buy another one of those because, I don't know, it was just cool. A lot of people are actually weighing them, too, apparently. Apparently,
yeah,
the ones that weigh slightly a bit more, like the just over a pound are the ones you were hoping to grab. They're a better chance of being a better deck, apparently.
Yeah, there was, I forget. Yeah, pretty much the better deck or better packs or something like that. I don't fucking know.
Yeah, I'm not one to go take an actual scale into a fucking Walmart. Like, that just seems... Yeah. Oh, that's what I was going to say. For any people who out there who enjoy foreign cards as well, several different Walmarts are actually selling the current Commanders, one that just came out. A bunch of them have Japanese ones.
Huh.
Like, there's one, like, if you want one, there's one over by the Grossmont one has it there. I've seen them in there. There's a bunch of pictures going around. Like, for some reason, they have some Japanese Commanders. So if you want your cards in Japanese or you particularly want those foils as the Commanders or whatever may have you, several Walmarts have the Japanese Commanders.
Interesting.
So, just for your information. From there, what else? So, I also bought TC Rockets signing up for the pre-release. I went and bought my final Snapcaster to complete my set.
Woo!
So, it was a pretty big milestone for me. My first two cards that I really was like money cards that were like, I'm going to concentrate on these as my first goal of getting was the Leonis and Snapcasters. And now I've completed both those sets, and so it's moving on to the next goals kind of thing. So it just feels good to do. And so because I did that, I built my first take on a Grixis Delver modern deck. So running my Snapcasters, my Lilianas. And so, you know, there's work to be done on it. And it's also in our current meta of what decks I'm playing against, you know, playing against your 8-rack is not particularly strong against. And there's different things that... So, like, the deck is fine. There's also asking to learn how to play it a little bit better and a little more smoothly. But I enjoy having Modern Grits as Delver. It's just kind of sweet.
It's a good deck.
What else I've been doing? So, just before getting on the pre-release stuff, we'll do that in another segment here. I got Titanfall 2 for Christmas, and I hadn't turned it on yet. Just hadn't done it yet. Finally downloaded it, started playing it, and while I enjoy Battlefield 1, we talked about it before, I started liking that game. I've been kind of wanting that more of an old-school Call of Duty feel, where it's a little bit faster of an action and things going on with it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Battlefield 1, it's a little slower of a game as far as, you know, the fights go and shit.
Yeah, I'm always excited to have at least, like, one or two Twitch shooters is what they call it, where it's just faster paced, the controls feel more tight than, say, like a Halo or something like that.
Yeah.
And the smaller maps. And
yeah, if you play first-person shooters, you know what I'm trying to get at with what you're saying, the Twitch shooter stuff.
Yeah.
So I turned on Titanfall 2, and, like, I hate the new Call of Duties. I hate the new, like, you're leaving the fucking actual battlegrounds, now you're in space, and you're jumping in the air, and you're floating, and all this kind of, Android arms, and all this bullshit. Yeah. Like, I don't like the new Call of Duties whatsoever, which is the majority of people. Titanfall 2, just like Titanfall 1 multiplayer, was just really a lot of fun. This game now has gotten even better. They streamlined it, they took away... Like, before they had battle cards where you could, like, unlock packs and spend money into things like that, or just by playing, unlock some packs and get certain bonuses.
Right.
And it was, like, fine, like, whatever. But now they've kind of done away with that and made it so there's, like, 8 or so different particular abilities that you can get, but you can only use one at a time, and you have to actually build up in a particular game to a certain amount of, like, points you've scored to actually be able to activate that. And so this thing is like a map hack where you turn the other people's mini maps off, or turrets you can put out. And it's that much more smoothly done. And so Titanfall 2 is its own style of game where it has, like, you know, the giant robots you can get into as well. And so, like, it's built around that. It's trying to do that. It's not what Call of Duty is supposed to be and then fucking everybody over by taking this whole other game. Right. Titanfall 2, this is what it is. And this is what it's supposed to be. And it plays so much better. Because even when you're jumping on walls and you're running, like, for some reason, in Call of Duty, like, Infinite Warfare, for me, playing that game, it was just like, you know, every time I run around the corner, I don't fucking see the guy running 20 feet above my head on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, because these maps are larger, they have to have space for the large robots to actually move around on. There isn't, like, this feeling of you're getting snuck up on by a guy over your head all the time.
Yeah.
Like, sure, that can happen if somebody's, you know, doing certain things, but it just feels cool, like, you know, how you run across these walls. And even though they're larger maps, like, a, you know, some of them are larger style Battlefield 1 type of maps, probably not as big, you can get across them very quickly, because when you run quickly, you also slide a little faster boost to it, but then when you actually wall jump, you run very fast across these walls.
Yeah, that's the thing I noticed, because I played a little bit of Titanfall 1 over at Hot Sauce's house, and the movement is very quick. It almost reminded me of, like, Unreal Tournament, you know, like how that was, like, super fast.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that, but, you know, a little...
Like, more controlled, though?
Yeah, more controlled, more refined, and, like you said, just a better aim for the game, you know what I mean?
So I also really enjoy, like, there's other, like, modes to play, obviously. Every first-person shooter has their multiplayer modes. And, like, you know, with attrition, you can do just straight pilots versus pilots, where it's just you versus the other team and things like that. But attrition, like, as you fight against other players, instead of, like, you know, certain maps, especially how big they are, if you play just pilots versus pilots, sometimes you go around, you can't see anybody for a little bit, or this is happening. With the attrition mode, not only do you play against other pilots, but then each team has different, like, grunts or specters or things that drop into the map as a pod of AI characters that you can also kill off, and they can shoot you and try to kill you. And it just adds extra level of, even for people who aren't very good at the game yet, can still go through and figure out where these pods are going to land and go try to, like, get points by killing these guys off and still feel like you're in the game and you're still doing a good job of killing fucking things off rather than, like, oh, I'm just dying to this dude killing me because he's been playing the game for 50 hours and I just started. So the game is just a lot of fun. It's really well made, very smooth. I also really like that they brought back a few of the original maps from Titanfall 1 that were some of the better ones, and that you can actually, so the maps are again in this one as well.
I like that.
A couple of them. So, and then it's good. And it doesn't feel like, they didn't put effort into this. It feels like, cool, these were the fun ones to play on. And it doesn't feel overdone. It's good.
Like when Halo would throw, like, old school maps, and you're like, oh, these are the good maps that we miss from back in the day. And now we get to play it with these new, you know, vehicles or weapons or whatever.
So, like, I've been kind of jonesing for one of those games, and I'm off of Call of Duty until I will probably – I haven't had a Call of Duty game. Excuse me. I haven't bought one in probably the last three or four iterations of the game. But I was really – a lot of people, like, either loved or hated when they made World War for Call of Duty. And that was, like, the older version where you're playing even further back with guns and stuff. That was probably my favorite one. Modern Warfare was great, but I really enjoyed Call of Duty World at War. I really like that one. So, like, with them making World War II that's going to be coming out, I would probably buy that game.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm super excited for that. I mean, like, the first Call of Duty I played was, I think, Call of Duty 2. And that was, like, way back in, like, high school when it was,
That was, like, on the regular Xbox.
It was on the computer.
The horrible shit, crap, bad graphics and nothingness.
It was great at the time. We're playing that and, like, Day of Defeat and shit. And, so, yeah, I'm also more inclined to like the not so much space age technology.
Oh, yeah, that's crap.
Sort of crap.
Like, but the first ones that really put put Call of Duty on the map, people really get into, was actually Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare 2 was pretty good, though. I do have to admit I like that one. But the one I liked most, and that's probably just because I owned it so I was able to play it, was Ghosts.
Oh, that was a really good one, too.
That one
I really enjoyed that
was
one.
Like the perfect amount of not going too far into the future with technology and stuff like
Android
that.
Android robot arms and flying and shit.
Yeah, so the one after that,
it was Infinite Warfare.
Something like that, where, like, yeah, you had special abilities. It felt kind of like it was ripping off Halo a little bit.
None of it was right. And, like, some of the weapons and different things you did were just like, this, then, no.
I never got into it. I bought it, played a little multiplayer, never beat the campaign. I was just like, well, I just wasted, like, fucking $60, but, you know, whatever. But when they do come out with the World War II one, I will be all over that.
Oh, cool. I mean, you can play each other then, because...
Fuck yeah.
I'd play it anyways, because I want to... I know that Call of Duty is a fucking copy-paste game, where it just, you know, refolds itself over and over again every year, and they try doing little things, but there still is some fun times in that game.
Yeah, it's just like, it's like, I think we talked about this before, it's like Madden. You know what I mean? You're not going to buy it every year, but when you want to play like a solid game, you know, like a solid football game or a solid first-person shooter, you're going to go to those titles. They may not be the best, but they have a consistency to them.
Yeah.
You know there's going to be a little bit of backbone there. Mm-hmm. It's never going to fall completely flat on its face.
This latest iteration is pretty much doing that. The special edition has like the Infinite Warfare, but for $80 you can get like the remastered version of Modern Warfare with it or something like that. And I'm like, but there's no option to just buy the remastered version of Modern Warfare. If that was available for $20-$30, I'd go buy it again and play it, because I actually looked into it. I'm like, well, I have no interest in Infinite Warfare, but if they are doing Modern Warfare again as it's remastered to it, I will play this. But you literally, as far as I can tell, and in my searching, I couldn't find an actual way to buy it on its own.
That's lame.
I'm excited for World War II to come out for that, because, you know, I'm excited for them to hopefully get back to their roots. So they're talking about getting boots back on the ground as their slogan for it and shit. And, But Titanfall 2 is just, it's just really well made. And another bonus to it is I've been playing it for like 2 weeks now, and just 2-3 days ago they had another free DLC that went down. So they have a whole new level in there, completely free to play, a new I think there's a new style of multiplayer mode in there as well or some shit. And like, because like this release of freeness to it, they're also doing like a double experience weekend or whatever shit for it. I'm like, sweet. So now I was already doing really well in leveling up, but I just played, I don't know, 5-6 matches last night and managed to like go up multiple levels. I'm like, yeah, getting there.
I love when games have like the special weekend up.
Time to grind.
They had that recently for Star Wars Galaxy Heroes. For anybody who's listened to this podcast for any amount of time, you know that's a mobile game that we've
My favorite one of all
playing.
Time.
Yeah, it's like we've said, or at least I've said, that mobile games I usually only play for a couple months, and then I'm just like, fuck this. Whereas this game, I've been playing it ever since it came out. I think I put it down for a couple months, and I picked it right back up, and it's just amazing. But they had a double weekend, and the thing with that game is that, you know, there's energy. You can only do so many actions, and then you have to wait for it to refresh. Or
it's a very slow. I mean, you can call it a farming game, but it's not going to be like a actual farm. But it is a gear grinding farming type of system to make your characters better and better and better and better. And so, yeah, continue.
Yeah, it's definitely you got to put some time into it. And also, I mean, this is a side thing, but like you have to put a lot of money into it if you're even going to try and like do the whole pay to win sort of thing, because like, if you put in like 10, 20 bucks, you're not even going to get much. Like, I would be spending money on this game if it weren't so fucking expensive. I've spent like $2 one time just because I wanted to get, you know, the extra crystals because I needed them. I didn't want to wait. But like, if you, like, they have like a, you know, $50 option. I go look at the $50 option, and it's like doesn't even get you like a full character unlock, or like, I expect $50 to like get one character unlocked. Everything like geared to fucking tits. No, but it's just like, and it's up to chance how many shards you get. Anyways, derailing the conversation.
Well, I'm gonna have one rebuttal to that, because you are not wrong. However, the game is also very good about when they release new characters that are like super powered, like Darth Nihilus. I don't know if you played in the last couple days.
Right.
That character was released maybe 2-3 months ago now, and he's a very, very strong character.
They nerfed it?
They did not nerf him. No, he's still fucking powerful as shit. But you can see like certain like really good teams playing him, even at 4 stars, and having like really geared up.
Right.
But, and so because he's that powerful and that good. Well, after so with most characters, after 2-4 months of being more of a, you have to, the only way to get him is to pay, they put them into one of the nodes you can actually farm him. So right. Darth Nihilus you can now farm.
Right.
Same
right.
thing with Sith Assassin and several other guys. And like, you know, B2 is now available, and
Well, B2 is always available. He's more available now.
No, B2 is a newer farm dude over the last couple of months.
I have him start out.
Yeah, but I think maybe I'm wrong, because I thought that was more of a, they brought him to the Cantina battles more recently, over the last like 5 months ago, maybe.
But yeah, something like that. Okay, anyways.
Anyway, so from there, like, they do a really good job of, if you want to be on the tier one from the get and off the bat and fighting for those points and getting the new great characters right away, yes, you can fucking whale out and buy the shit out of it and fucking get there. However, they do a good job for the pay, for the free-to-play players. Like, you're like more of the extreme for free-to-play. I'm kind of a middle ground where I do pay from time to time on certain things. And nowadays, it used to be before, I was doing like on shards to get more characters. Well, now I have most of the characters except for maybe like 10, 15 of them. But several of those are actually farmers, don't want the characters either. But like, now I'll put some money into getting more crystals to get the energy to farm my fucking mods to make the characters better. Not all the time, and just, you know, in between. But so I'm more in the middle ground. But from there, you don't have to do that at all. Like, so they do a good job of making it so free-to-play players can still eventually get that fantastic character. They have to put more effort into it.
Yeah.
Which, at the same time, makes more sense from there.
Yeah.
But they don't, like, make it so you can only get this character if you pay. Like, they make it so it is accessible to everybody for each character.
Yeah, when I play free-to-play games, I pride myself on not spending any money, even though I did spend, like, $2 on this one. But, like, with Hearthstone, I never spent any money on it. I just grinded the fuck out of it, slowly unlocked each fucking wing of the little fucking instances or, you know, expansions or whatever. But yeah, and there's guides out there for free-to-play players. You know, they start out with this team.
There's podcast availers, YouTube channels dedicated to this game.
So yeah, I've checked out a couple websites and a couple videos and stuff. But anyways, the whole reason I brought this up is just they had a double-up weekend for the Cantina Battles, and I was just like super stoked because some of those is like it's the only place to get certain characters. And so I was able to get Aaliyah, Sakura, or whatever, I was able to get her up to 7 stars, so I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, I did a lot of work on Chief Chirpa.
Ah.
I kind of wish I'd gone with the Death Trooper instead, but I was like, well, I already have a very powerful Empire Sith team with Darth Vader as the leader, and Darth Sidious in there, and Emperor Palpatine, and TIE Fighter Pilot, and Darth Maul. So my team's very strong there. So to add more Empire Sith guys, they have to be to a point where I'm going to max them the fuck out and take a lot of time on them, and that's like, that they still end up better than one of the guys I already had that are super good.
So I'm like, you got to start making like a B team and shit.
Which is like, I could, because like Emperor Palpatine as a leader is really good too. But I'm like, but now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, we'll do Chief Trip. But then right after that, they decided to make it so Darth Nihilus is available to farm. I'm like, okay, well, that's a guy that once I get the chance to get him fucked and maxed, he'll be taking over a spot in my main team. Which means I will have enough good characters to make a B team.
And let me just say, if you're not into this game, you should be into this game.
If you like Star Wars at all.
And second of all, if you don't like Star Wars, I don't know what you're doing listening to this podcast. We talk about Star Wars like every fucking episode, so... So, what else? What else did you do this week?
That was mostly, I spent a lot of time doing that, watching Padres still. The same thing happened with Battlefront, right? Battlefront is a Star Wars one?
Yes, Battlefront.
So, one of the biggest complaints about that game was no campaign.
Yeah.
Same thing happened with the original Titanfall game. There wasn't complaints on the gameplay and the style of play. People were very excited about it and what the game was doing. They just were bummed that there was no campaign.
Right.
For me, so when it comes to like first-person shooters, Hot Sauce is much more on a campaign type of player. For me, that's not important for me. Like I go to play a first-person shooter campaign, and I rarely ever beat them because it doesn't do it for me. It's almost like a hack and slash where I'll play the first two levels of the campaign, and I'm like, hey, that's enough.
Yeah.
Because it becomes the same thing over and over again. And obviously, different bosses you run into, but like when it becomes a regular first-person shooter, like what they're gonna face some guy who has like 8 heads. You're facing just a tougher dude who's a merc or something, you know?
Yeah.
I'm more in a multiplayer.
I like to do the the campaign. I like to play it through, but I don't base the whole game like the Call of Duty Ghosts. The campaign was all right. You know, it wasn't spectacular.
I think that was one of the few I actually finished for the Call of Duty campaign.
Yeah, it was all right.
Because there's a couple cool things in that.
But like the multiplayer, I judge it like 75% based off that, and that was good multiplayer.
Yeah.
But the campaign isn't necessarily important. I like that there is a campaign, and I will play the campaign.
Yeah.
And if it's really good, that's even better. But with games like that, it's definitely more geared towards multiplayer.
I mean, dude, what's crazy is there's still a small percentage of players out there, like maybe some older guys. Like my wife's dad plays games and he loves war games, but he doesn't have actual online access, and that'd be too fast paced for him. So like, they're just to take away campaign is just wrong. And that, you know, for even past that small player, the small percentage don't have online. Like, people want to have the value in the game and how much money you're paying for this thing. There should be a fucking campaign built in.
Okay. Just let me interrupt quickly because I was reading Game Informer the other day, and I read that the next Halo is going to have online split-screen capabilities to where you can sit down with your buddy and you can both play online.
Well, that's been a problem
there's been such a big backlash from the Halo community about that because that's half of the fun of the game. We've talked about it before. That's half the fun is like, hey, you know, you get a
That's what made the game so huge in the first place is playing with your buddies.
Yeah, you get a fucking six pack. You invite a couple of your buddies over. You fucking have two Xboxes in the same room. You know, like we did that like, I don't even know, like 4 years ago. Yeah.
Or if you're 10 years old and you're having a sleepover, you want to be able to play the game with your friends, not sit there and have one buddy watch you play. I mean,
yeah, that's fucking lame.
Bullshit. Oh, you died, my turn. No, that's fucking lame. We should both be able to play on this goddamn screen right now. This is retarded.
It's not my fault the tank fell on me as soon as I respawned, damn it.
Just put your fucking tag name and guest, and you got two screens, and you're ready to play. Come on, what's the problem?
I was pretty excited to hear that.
It was always fun when you played online with that, and somebody's guest was on there, because usually they suck. So you just fucking rape the guest. It's like, yeah. Free noob picking.
Yeah, take that blowing smoke 420.
Guest.
Number one.
Yeah, number one. It was great, right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy to hear that's coming back. I mean, like, you know, more and more falling off the Halo series because I've been kind of just done with it. Not the biggest fan of the multiplayer anymore. It just has hit a point. But if you're telling me split screen's coming back, well, I'll probably give it another chance again. Because just like you have Halo 5, but you haven't played it at all, right? Barely at all?
Barely.
I played multiplayer on it for maybe one session, so like, you know, 3-4 hours of it. And it was fun, but I was like, it didn't hook me back into the Halo series.
Yeah.
And it just, you know, they've kind of lost their fucking touch, especially to me, for me. But anyways, getting back to real quick to end the Titanfall 2 thing is, a lot of people haven't given this game a chance. There's a reason why it's so cheap right now. And the reason they like dropped the price right away for it to try to get people to realize, like, hey, wait a second, check this game out, give it another shot, because now there is a campaign, and what the game is doing in multiplayer is done very well, and it's a lot of fucking fun. So if you haven't tried Titanfall 2, I'm sure it's on sale somewhere. I'm sure it's on, you know, on the cheap for $25 probably at this point, and there's still tons of people playing multiplayer online because it's a very well made game. So you're not waiting fucking 10 minutes between matches. You're waiting a minute or two or whatever it is to just load back in. It's good. It's really good.
Yeah, I'm definitely willing to give it a shot just because the price went down. That it?
That's pretty much my week. Go ahead, sir.
Sweet! So my week, actually the past couple weeks have been all right. I would say my past week has been good, but unfortunately, so last week we recorded an episode. And, there was some hilarious impersonations of Mark Rosewater. And, Big Brother is always watching. And shortly after we got done recording, we got an email. I wasn't even logged into Gmail, but I got an email. It just popped up on my screen out of nowhere.
A halo point out of your watch.
And it was Watsy. And they said, you can't release this episode. You are bashing on Mark Rosewater too heavily, and you need to stop. And there's actually an audio clip from Mark Rosewater himself.
What did he say to us? I forget. Keep it together.
You guys need to stop making fun of me, and it's not fair. It's not fair that you guys keep making fun of me, and that I didn't know about the preview card, the storytelling cards, and that's not right. Just let me do my Drive to Work podcast. You savages, you'll never be on the mothership. I guarantee you, you'll never be on the mothership. You sorry sacks of shit.
Oh, I fucking saw it. Oh, I got.
So it went something like that. But
I mean, that guy's vicious. You think he's all nice because he's just so happy and excited, but man, he gets angry. Watch out.
He has a cocaine problem.
Oh man, I should hang out tomorrow.
So we weren't allowed to publish last week's episode, and also it didn't help that I forgot to switch the audio input from the microphone that's built into the laptop to the actual microphones
Boo.
That we have in front of us right now.
You suck.
So, I mean, that's also an issue why we didn't put it out.
Also, yeah. Half the battle.
Yeah. So, but it was hilarious. I was very upset.
Look, for me, I won't give you shit about losing the episode anymore because I've been giving you shit about it because it's fucked up. It sucks. It's annoying. It's probably the second or third time it's happened. It's a shitty feeling. We all agreed it was a good episode last time, too.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that for your earring viewing pleasure, you won't be able to fucking hear it. But I won't give you credit anymore because that was a very good flashback of what happened in your review of what happened in the Morrow LSV review Twitch thing they had, the Q&A they had on Twitch.
Yeah, so last week we talked about, we'll just review it very quickly. There was an interview that Marshall Sutcliffe had with Morrow, and I forget the other guys' names. There was other designers, one of the art designers. And it was just a quick thing they did on Twitch, and the biggest complaint we had was that there was two microphones set up for four or five gentlemen. So what it was, Marshall Sutcliffe, the interviewer,
fucking hate that guy,
had a fucking microphone just like attached to his Adam's apple. You know, like you could hear him very clearly, and then everyone else, like when they spoke, they were so far away from the microphone that it sounded like this, and it's like, what the fuck? Because asking questions is good, but I want to hear the fucking answers. Yeah. So when Morrow would go off on his cocaine rant, or when the
love that guy,
when the lead artist dude finally spoke up, or
like,
whatever.
That was his 15 minutes of fame. We don't even remember his name after watching it, and like, the dude had a chance. He's like, I'm on Twitch. Yeah, I worked on this set. I'm so proud.
People
don't even know who I am anymore. They couldn't hear my answers to my questions. I was just as excited. there tomorrow. I didn't have a lisp. Like, what the fuck, man? I wanted them to hear me. I feel bad for this guy. I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's a very simple thing. If you're going to set up something like that, especially with the capabilities that Watsy has, to just take that extra step and set up a couple extra mics so we can actually hear the answers, because it would be like Sutcliffe would be like, so tell me about these spotlight cards, and then Morrow would be like, oh, I'll tell you about these spotlight cards. They're wonderful. See, we like to tell the story in five different story settings, and the art, oh my goodness, the art is just spectacular. And so, damn it, we're going to get another email.
Thank you so much, Knife. I was so nervous you wouldn't do the bring it back, and I'm so happy you have. So good.
So we went on this big old rant about it, and
it was also bullshit. Now, Sutcliffe, who's supposed to be the interviewer, was going to be asking these guys questions about all this time and effort they put into this great product for us and this great storyline and all these fucking design of these cards that we all fucking love in Magic. And this cocksucker's asking the question and then, like, asking the question and putting his head down, looking at his phone, like, not even listening to the answers, like, not giving a shit. Like, yes, so, guy is such a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, that was kind of shitty to see, is that... you know, they were getting questions off of Twitch or whatever. So he would ask a question, and then, yeah, he would look down at the fucking computer, and, you know, like, the non-Morrow guy, whoever, the other designer, he's, like, answering, and fucking Sutcliffe is just, like, not even, like, interested. He's just kind of shaking his head, like, smiling, looking down at the chat. And it's like, well, dude, that's just a big fuck you to the guy. So, anyways, it was, like, a shit show. And it could have been a really cool thing.
Yeah, I was very excited about the what they were doing with it. It's a pretty cool premise. What they were doing was just giving us a Q&A on the new set that came out to give us a chance to give, like, the designers, you know, input and what had happened in the lore, what happened in the story design, what happened in building the set. And that's, for me, like, I think that's pretty cool. Like, my brother is into Egyptian mythology, and, like, he's kind of in and out of the game, like, a little bit. And, like, I've been trying to, you know, I told him, like, months ago, that, hey, this Egyptian themed world's coming out. Let's get you back into Magic. Let's play the game. And, you know, I had a good time. It's fun to talk to them about how good they do on lore and bringing in, like, actual Egyptian, you know, lore characters, like the Serpent part and different things that they do, and, like, you know, having the gods in there. And it's really cool and interesting what they do. And it was just kind of like it was a great idea that they were doing this to give us, like, this Twitch viewing on just a Q&A on it. Because, like, I always really enjoy when they have a Pro Tour and they do, like, the in-between round, like, the little five-minute videos where you get to hear from the R&D guys, you get to hear from Morrow, and hear his high-pitched excitement that he goes into his Coke rant on. And it's great. It's so much fun to watch a guy be so proud and excited about the set that he completed, like, a year and a half, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And how much, you know, how cool it is with this design process and to show us and just share it with us finally. And so it was really cool. I was really excited to watch this and be like, this is a great idea, I feel like. And they just had such poor execution. It was just such a disappointment.
Yeah, it was a bummer for sure. So I don't know if this should become a segment on this podcast.
Morrow asked those questions.
No, that would be hilarious.
We interview Morrow each episode with our questions.
And then he just yells off in the corner away from the mic.
He'll be our new Reich. He'll be the fourth cast member. He just shows up and then they just have segments.
So I want to call this segment One Step Forward, Two Steps Back.
Okay.
And this
I know where we're going here now.
And
I got it.
Is, I feel like this could be a very easy reoccurring segment because I feel like this particular type of situation has been happening a lot.
All the time with Magic.
Watsy, especially in the past, like, year or two, has been really, like, adjusting knobs on a lot of different things, and it feels like they're just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks. And I feel like they need to settle down with changing everything, just like with the rotation, with the blocks, with the tournament top eight and how that plays out. You know, they said, oh, we're for the intentional draws, and then they went back on it. So I don't even know, like, what the fuck they're doing.
So, like, I think we discussed a little bit about this before, where I don't have a problem with them trying to you know, tweak the game and make it, you know, this is what's going to be better, or trying a new rotation. Like, it's fine to try these different things out and figure out, is this way going to be better? What I really had the problem with is them doing the new rotation and then instantly, because a few people bitched and didn't, like, understand what's going on quite or whatever, after one rotation cycle, they went backwards on it. Like, you can't get the real information or gather up what you're trying to do and see if it's working or not by one cycle of that. Like, you have to give it a shot, give it a fucking 2 years, give it a year, give it a two, whatever, get a couple cycles in there to see, is this better or not? You can't know when you're, all you're going to hear off the first one is, because people in general do not like change. And you have changed, a lot of people, some people are wild spirits and all about change and going out there doing something new. But in a community of Magic players where most are nerds, a little more secluded, to have a change like that, it's just something that's going to hit you in this way of, I'm going to fucking yell about this because I don't understand what's happening in this change. I don't get why you're changing the rotation, blah, 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 blah. And so all they're hearing is this negative feedback. And anytime you have feedback on anything, the negative voices are always louder than the positive.
Well, also, like you said, they need more, or I feel like they perhaps needed some more data points to work off of.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
But also, like with Twitter, it's a, what'd somebody call it? I was listening to some podcast and they called it like a negative echo chamber. Okay. So basically, yeah. like you said, the loudest voices are putting stuff on social media the most and most frequently. And so since that's what you see, that's what you think the majority of people think.
Which a lot of times is not typically the case. Sometimes it is. Sometimes for sure. Sometimes there's a problem and there's, you know, it's there. Sure, that happens. But a lot of times that's not necessarily the case. A lot of times the majority are fine with what's going on.
And even if it's, like, right away people aren't okay with it, like, just give it some time, you know? People can adapt, whatever it is. But the real point of this conversation is for one simple thing.
Jesus Christ.
Pretty
big fuck up.
Hey, we had the ban and announcement thing. And
the brand new scheduled ban and restricted announcement.
Yeah, they added more windows to the ban and restricted announcement. And guess what? Nothing's banned. Well, I guess in, was it Legacy?
Legacy Top is banned.
Top was banned.
And what was restricted?
I think it was...
God, really? We don't have this ready?
Anyways, something was restricted in... was it Monastery Mentor?
No, it was Gataxian Probe then.
Okay, well, something.
Because that helps the Mentor deck go off very well. So restricting in Vintage, is it Legacy 2 or just Vintage? Restricted Gataxian Probe because the Mentor decks were too oppressive, they felt. And so it became just Mentor decks and Workshop decks in Vintage. And so they're trying to get rid of the Probe because that helps set go off with the Mentor so much easier than what they're doing, so restricting it down to one, a lot of other powered cards.
And unfortunately, Leovold was banned in Commander, like 100%. Not even as a Commander, but in Commander, period. Which was a bummer. I was looking forward to saving up my milk money and buying a Leovold. but I guess I'll just have to save that dream for Tiny Leaders. And that's about it. So, anyways, moving on.
Do you want to discuss our thoughts on the bans at all, or go to what the problem is we're getting at?
Let's go to the problem, because, I mean, Vintage Legacy, we don't have a big opinion on, and, Leovold, I can understand why that is, whatever.
And I get why Top is banned. It's been, Miracle's been a very oppressive deck for a long time. However, some people are talking about how it may just open up the floodgates of other combo decks to come in, because now there's going to be less of a pure counter type of deck like Miracles is,
right?
And the possibility is there to open up the floodgates to other combo decks now.
Well, fine.
That's what I'm saying. We'll see. We'll see what happens. You know.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, that's a point of view. If besides people just saying, yeah, fuck Miracles, fuck Top, blah, 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 there is also this window of, like, it may warp the format quite a bit by banning it.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's move forward. What, a day?
2 days, I think.
2 days. Let's move 2 days past that, and we get... I wake up. I look on Twitter, and all of a sudden I see people saying that Copycat got banned. The cat got banned. And I'm like, what? Like, this is fake. This is fake. Somebody made, like, a fake thing or, like, a meme or something. Something funny's happening. No, I look and find the actual announcement. Emergency ban.
2 days after the scheduled banning.
2 days after, Watsy says, you know what, guys? We're going to go ahead and make another standard banning with the Felidar Guardian,
yeah,
the cat.
Yeah.
Because the copycat combo in standard, they said, was just too much, and they didn't plan on it. And they, I'm not even going to give you the reason. They said some reason about, like, oh, well, the data on MPGO. Oh,
that's
and like
bullshit. You can't get enough data in 2 days to know that.
Yeah. So, anyways, I think they just...
Like, I'm fine with the banning happening, but just the major fuck-up of it happening 2 days after the actual banning happening because of the negative echo chamber. Like, I'm fine with Cat being banned. Like, that, it is what it is. Like, it's kind of, it's weird to me that suddenly that there's only been a handful of fucking emergency bannings of standard and standard cards, like Jace the Mind Sculptor getting banned.
Yeah.
And now suddenly we're getting cards nonstop banned. It's like, we're not getting tons of power. We're just happening to getting a few decks that are like, or they feel are too oppressive or whatever's going to happen. And it's just, it's crazy to me that so many bans are happening, first off. But from there, like, I get it. Like, it's for me, I'm fine with it being banned. I didn't play that deck. I would never play that deck. But it's just fucking insane. Insanely stupid to me that they do it 2 days after and call it emergency banning and then try to claim that it's from 2 days of release on MTGO of the set from the data numbers they got off of that. It's like, that is ridiculous.
So, one, I didn't think that they would have another standard banning. Like,
me either. I didn't either.
Another standard banning this close to them banning the previous three cards, that's like crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just killing consumer confidence. Just killing it. And how do you make that even worse? You bypass your scheduled window for bannings. So people go, oh, hey, the cat isn't banned. Now well, I guess I'll invest in this deck now.
Now I can buy this deck. It's going to stick around now.
And then 2 days later, emergency banned. Like, that is just so, such a big fuck up. We were texting back and forth with Hot Sauce and Crow, and I was like, this is horrendous. Like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, I'm not quite sure what the repercussions are that are going to happen from this, but there are going to be repercussions. Like, I can sit here and speculate, like, at least, like I said before, consumer confidence in standard has to drop. And how that affects WotC, like, money-wise and numbers-wise, not sure. But it's like, shot out at this point after the previous bans and then this emergency ban.
So this is where myself and Hot Sauce agree and disagree with you. We agree that this is insane, that this is incredibly stupid. The confidence level and players going into is me fucking, so this guy was shot. Like, going into this, going like, what the fuck, you kidding me? But however, because of how ingrained this game is in us, the players that love and play this game, I just don't, like, there's going to be a handful of people. There's going to, like, when people are fucking on Twitter burning their fucking, the Splinter Twins and things like that. Like, there's going to be those people. You know, there's already videos of someone, this one dude who had a Leovold commander deck, and he takes a Leovold, walks to a trash can, throws in the trash can. It's like, and that's fucking stupid, by the way, because it's still a huge money card just going off in Legacy.
Yeah.
So you're an idiot for whoever that fucking guy was.
Yeah, ripped up $40.
So from there, it's just like, I agree that there's going to be those certain players. There's going to be a small percentage of people who say, fuck Magic now, or fuck buying anything standard at all now. However, there's just so much, the majority of us are just so, it's like, you know, for me, cracking packs and playing this game is partially, I joke about second addiction, but it kind of truly, in a way, is.
Yeah.
I love this game. A lot of people love this fucking game and think it's, you know, just the tops. It is tier one.
It's not top
games.
No more.
Oh! Yeah, good job,
We did the hand.
Good timing. But because of that, like, I just don't see Wizards losing a bunch of money on this. It is a horrible fucking move. It is just retarded and unbelievable to me. And to a point where we've seen so many of these fucking changes and taking them back because of Twitter anger or whatever back over this last 2 years of Magic. It's been incredible how many things they've tried and, like, take back suddenly. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing kind of things. And then even, like, you know, even the banning of Emrakul, which is, like, your fucking namesake card of an entire set you ban. It just, there's things that are just like, wow, like really? And this is like, this is incredible. This is like past that to me. Like, this is the biggest one, because you just literally had this window 2 days later, and people just start buying the cards now, getting into it. And just to do this is just not right. It's not right. And we've talked about this before. Like, we hate Triumph Fireball, and I have nothing good to say about them. I can't stand Triumph Fireball. I can't stand their prices. I can't stand their coverage. Nothing about Triumph Fireball I like. However, I will give credit where credit's due. And Triumph Fireball has stepped up and said, hey, if anybody out there bought these cards in this time frame, or actually they said in the last 30 days, I believe, if yeah. I read it correctly, if anybody bought these cards in the last 30 days, send them back in for a full refund.
And I think they even went as far to, for like counterbalances from Amonkhet. Or,
not counterbalance. Counterbalance is in Legacy Miracles.
Yeah, I know, but since Top is gone.
Okay, I know. Well, you said Amonkhet with that, so I'm like, I'm confused.
But it wasn't at the Invocation? It was in the Invocations, correct?
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so, now I get your point.
So people got all excited about getting those, and then they ordered them, and then now that Top's banned, they're like, well, I'm fucked. This deck is shit now, so they've offered refunds on that also. So
credit where credit's due. That's pretty cool of a company to do that. They don't have to do that.
I've seen some other stores step up like that, too. I think Channel Fireball was the first one to do it.
The biggest name to hear or say it out there. So that's just the one I as I'm saying, I don't want to just, I bash on Channel Fireball. I can't stand their announcers. There's nothing about them. Like I said, I don't like Channel Fireball at all.
But this one thing.
Credit where credit's due. This is pretty cool of them to do that.
You hear that, Fireball?
Suck a dick anyways.
That's the one nice thing we're going to say ever. I think this is the biggest fuck up since I've been playing Magic. And I totally agree that over the past couple of years, they've tried to innovate and then they take it back. Or not even innovate. They just make a change and then they take it back. They make a change, they take it back. So with the standard rotation, they take it back. With intentional draws leading up to top 8 in tournaments, we change it. Oh, no, we're going to take it back. Oh, hey, this card isn't going to be banned. Oh, no, we take it back. It actually is banned. You know, to tell you the truth, a lot of this stuff does not affect me personally.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be hitting up any, like, big GPs anytime soon. I mean, sure, like, the standard rotation affects me, but not, like, in a huge way. And the banning of the copycat actually benefits me, because now I don't have to throw fucking shocks in my sideboard of every fucking deck I play just so I don't have to die to the combo. But just the... It just goes back to the confidence not being there. And so what I think, it may not be a huge measurable difference, but, like, the morale... Mm-hmm. of the customers is going to go down.
Yeah.
We might still be buying and participating, but the morale is down. It's like having slaves. They hate they hate you, but they're still going to work for you. God. You know what I mean? Hey, that's a fucking fuck you. That's a spot on. That's a spot on analogy.
Oh God! But I went from like this level to this whole other level of like, oh Jesus! I'm nervous right now. Is there any black people around us? Like fuck.
Hey man, I didn't say black slaves.
Okay,
the Jews were Egyptians, slaves.
And Irish were slaves.
Yeah, Irish were
but
slaves.
But we don't bitch about it. Just saying.
That's why we drink to forget. Forget the abuse. Woo! But so I think that F&M attendance will be going down. Perhaps GP.
The shitty part about that, though, is that really affects LGSs on a very level more than it affects WotC.
That affects the shops. And, I mean, in the end, when they see numbers of whatever they get from, like, Tournaments of Fire and DCI participation and all that stuff, it's going to reflect on WotC. But, yeah, the ones who get...
But the ones mostly the immediate hurt and pain of it.
Exactly, is the LGS. But, yeah, I think there's going to be decreased attendance to events. But Crow brought up a good point that in 3 months or 6 months, there's going to be a new shiny object, and we're all going to forget about the evil WotC, and we're all going to go.
Our Devastation comes out, his commander comes out.
Nicol Bolas is so cool. He has 15 abilities. Oh my God. You know, like.
And then he's going to get banned 2 months later. Got him.
Got him. But, yeah, so. I don't know. It's shitty, but like I said, it doesn't directly affect me because, well, it doesn't even affect us on this cast, really, because we just fucking do what we do. We play Frontier. It's not a sanctioned format. We play Tiny Leaders, not a sanctioned format. You know, I play MTGO, and I just make Tier 3 decks on there anyway, so the banning of the cat just helps me.
Yeah.
But overall, like, the morale is going down, and my confidence in WotC. It's really just an annoyance.
Yeah, it's incredible to see stupidity. I'm not a fan of stupidity, and this is just fucking stupid. Like, this was just so poorly done, so poorly planned out. It's just incredible to me that this even occurred. How was this allowed to happen? Well, who the fuck is managing things over there? What the fuck is happening that this is what has occurred? Like, that's not okay. I mean, it's insane.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's our new segment of one step forward, two steps back.
To cap off that segment right there, side note, by the way, just so you know, me and Hot Sauce were correct, and you were incorrect.
About?
You thought they would ban Shaheely. We said you are incorrect.
Oh, no, I already recanted on that.
Oh, okay.
When more cards were spoiled before the set came out, somebody had posted a list, another infinite combo, obviously a lot harder, but it involved the cat and not Shaheely. So, yeah, I maybe not publicly on the podcast, but I recanted saying, yes, the cat
Whatever,
is
you're
the
still
problem.
Wrong.
And I am wrong. So why don't we go into the pre-release? I was hanging out with my family, me, my brother, and my dad, watching some movies, having some dinner. And he lives right down the street from the shop that we frequent these days, TC Rockets, over in La Mesa, California. Check it out. 91942.
I'll toss me pissed.
What? Yeah.
It doesn't, well, because he's just so weird about
something.
Yeah,
you named a place in my place.
I go there sometimes. Someone might recognize me. Pussy.
So,
I'm like Kennedy, man. They're going to assassinate me. Fuck, bro.
They'll recognize my hairy ass. So, yeah, afterwards, I went down there. It was probably about like 10:30, and I was just dicking around until the rest of the guys showed up. Hot Sauce showed up with his buddy from work. Crow showed up. Corey, been thinking a lot, showed up.
Cold-blooded.
With his sister and some other dude. And, you know, it was just cool to just kind of hang out. Unfortunately, I didn't participate in the pre-release. I just bought a Liliana of the Veil and went the fuck home to go to sleep. Like, just sneaking that in there.
I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Finally got, yeah, you got two of them now.
I ordered.
And you do have an up on me as far as Bob's go. I think I have two or three, and you have the playset now.
Yeah, I finished the playset of Bob's, and I just need two more Lilianas, and 8-rack is done. I can't wait. So anyways, why don't you go into some of the pre-release?
So like he mentioned, I showed up with Cold-Blooded Corey, his sister, and their friend. And forgive me, but I'm really bad at names. I think it was Kelvin or something along those lines. We went over to Cold Blooded's house, and we're hanging out, just playing, you know, some pre-game drinking, pre-release drinking, and playing some Modern and whatnot. Like, I had just built my Grixis Delver deck where, you know, suddenly he's tweaking and shit, and he was playing. He actually, in case you didn't know, Knife, he actually won a little, what is it? What do they call it? GP2Q type of deal over at Tasty Rockets with, okay, his Merfolk deck. So nice. He actually has two buys at Vegas. So he's going to Vegas with two buys.
Nice.
So pretty cool for him. He's actually on the website with the picture and everything from TC Rockets. So went over there. I was playing against his Merfolk deck, which is obviously, you know, he's been – that's what he does. He plays Merfolk. Ever since we've known him, then we ran into him in that Tiny Leaders tournament. That's
oh,
what he
when
does.
I kicked his ass? When I kicked that fish ass of his?
I beat him too.
When
Hells,
we,
baby.
When we kicked that fish ass of his?
I think I played him. Anyways. So, yeah. He ended up, you know, overall beating me, and then I played my other – fun little Modern deck where I have my Goblin Tremors fucking I want to blank on that fucking artifact. Anyways, that fucking one with two mana, whenever a creature enters the battlefield, each you put a mer token on the field, and that happens for both players. So between that and with fucking Norn the Wary, I go, gotcha, off between cycling of attrition damage and impact tremors and ping, 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 and, yeah, making more dudes. And so I was playing that against him, and his buddy had a fucking little janky combo deck. So we had a good time hanging out over there for, I don't know, probably 2 hours, having a couple beers. We went over the pre-release, and I met up with you guys, and you took off. And so going into the pre-release, they decided to set it up where instead of, like, everybody was in one pool, I think there was, like, 50 players there or so, they didn't set it up where everybody's in the same pool. They wanted to have a shorter, it was a midnight release that we went to. So they didn't want to be there for four or five rounds and be there till 5, 6 o'clock in the morning. So they did a 3-round tournament and they set it up into pods of 8. So I ended up in a pod with none of the other guys in it. I opened my pool up and it's been happening the last few times for me recently where my pre-release pool, I usually do pretty good in pre-releases. However, the last couple times, my pool has been very, very weak, unfortunately. And I've just had to do a good job of making synergistic decks, which overall, not to toot my own horn, I think you guys here in the cast have seen that I'm actually pretty good at building a sealed pool deck that has good synergy or even drafting too. Like I'm actually not bad at that overall. I do a pretty good job in these. And so going into this, my pool was not strong at all. My pre-release card is Cascading Cataracts, and that's the fucking land that's going to be good for Commander. We get to pay 5, tap it, add 5 color, five mana of any combination of colors in your mana pool, and it's indestructible as well. That was a pre-release card, but that's not a good sign from the get-go. I then, from there, opened up, rares across the board. And just, my pool wasn't very strong. My best open card money-wise was Gideon. I got the new Gideon, but unfortunately, I only got a total of like 10 white cards in my entire pool. So I was like, well, shit. I ended up going Dimir and building zombies and having just a synergistic zombies, a little bit of cycling, a little bit of tokens going on. So recursion-themed zombie deck with it. And, I ended up playing Gideon because I played the Blinding Cataracts and I got a Evolving Wild. So I played, I think, like two planes because I also played Aven Windguide, which is for 2, a white and a blue. It's 2/3 flying vigilance bird warrior. And it says creature tokens you control have flying and vigilance. It also has embalm for 6. If you're playing any kind of token strategy, constructed or limited, this guy is stupid.
Fuck yeah.
Just stupid good. And so, like, I was playing cards like that guy. And the reason I decided to play him is because I was playing things, like I said, where I was doing, value recursion stuff, where I'm playing things like my all-star of the deck that did the best for me was Liliana's Mastery. For 3 and double black as an enchantment, zombies you control get +1/+1, and when it enters the field, you get 2/2 black zombie creature tokens. So you play this for 5 mana, you get 6 power with the creatures, and the rest of your zombies get pumped. So from there, I was also, between the tokens and shit, too, the other guy getting the bonuses, I'm playing, like, Doom. Played a couple of Doom Dissenters, which is a 1/1 for 2. It's a human, but when it dies, you make a 2/2 zombie token. And so a couple of values like that. And then just so you guys know, when you're doing limited, as far as commons go, one of my favorite ones in this set is Cursed Minotaur. For 2 and a black, it's a 3/2 menacing zombie minotaur. And it's just very good in the format. It felt like every time I got him on the field, he put just tons of pressure on him. It just seemed to work out quite well. So play a couple of those guys. And also, my favorite fucking... If I had opened up 6 of Trespasser's Curse, I would have played it in limited and sealed. Because most limited decks are based around creatures. Like, there's only a handful of strategies in any particular format of sets that come out where you can actually play an instant sorcery deck, a mill deck, or things like that. So Trespasser's Curse is for 1 and a black. You curse enchanted player. Whenever a creature enters the battlefield under that player's control, they lose 1 life and you gain 1. So it was just awesome. I only personally opened one of those, so unfortunately I only got to play 1. But that combined with I pulled the Throne of the God Pharaoh.
Okay.
So it was just like, they're putting, I love attrition. I managed to make this recursion attrition deck where I happen to keep pulling this card, cursing them from the early game, playing Throne of the God Pharaoh, so then I attack in, and then my creatures, after they're surviving, if they're tapped, would also do them 1 damage. That's what that artifact does. And so there was just a lot of good things going on there. A Grave Digger in there to continue with it. And I only played the Aven Windguide and the Gideon, which I actually never pulled the entire 3 rounds. Never pulled them. But I was playing Oketra's Monument, and this card is just fucking stupid great and unlimited. For 3 mana, legendary artifact, white creature spells cost 1 less to cast. Okay, cool, but I wasn't really playing white. The other bonus is whenever you cast a creature spell, create a 1/1 white warrior creature token with vigilance.
That's not too bad.
Pretty good.
And I think that's the best out of those monuments.
I think it's pretty fantastic. I mean, I love the black one personally more because I love that attrition, the pinging, and the value game of it. But this, again, is another huge value game with it. So I'm making tokens, but I cast some creatures, and I drop Aven Windguide, and all of a sudden I have these fucking 1/1 flying vigilance tokens that are just how many flyers you're really going to be able to control in the board state here. And while you're playing limited, you're playing mostly creatures. And so I played cards like River Serpent, which isn't a good card, but for a single blue, I'm able to cycle it and get my early game presence going. Miasmic Mummy, I enjoyed this guy. For 2 mana, it's a 2-2 zombie jackal. For two mana, it's when it enters the battlefield, each player discards a card. You know, so like, yeah, you're getting an unfortunate, you know, disadvantage yourself too, but you know, maybe early game you had a bunch of lands, or you keep this, you draw this late and you have no other cards in hand, and you play it and you just get some other good card out of their hand they've been waiting to play cast on you.
Or you throw an embalmed guy in the yard.
Oh, there you go. Things like that. So it's just a good value creature for that. I played by one cancel that I got, and which is, you know, it's, you don't a lot of times play a lot of counters in limited, but when it's like non-stipulation counter, like, you know, like in Battle for Zendikar, they had stupid one for 2 and a blue counter a spell unless they pay one, and then when you cast this card you get a 1/1 Zion. Like, I couldn't believe how many limited games I played where people actually played that card. It was stupid. And yeah, every now and then, like, I get caught by it and like they get my bomb, which good for them, but realistically in your deck that is just a horrible card to play. That's not good enough. So the one cancel actually won me a game one of the games because he was going to bounce through my tokens and he wasn't able to do it, and I totally ran the board back over from that point. I love the Cartouche of Ambition for 2 and a black. Enters the battlefield, target creature gets -1/-1 counter on it, and then your creature you enchant gets +1/+1 in lifelink. It's just pure value with it. A couple other fucking, you know, Decision Paralysis, 4 mana, tap 2 creatures, they don't untap and untap stuff for an instant. Just a little bit of fucking, you know, value going on there. And then my blue rare was a Glyph Keeper, which is the 5/3 Sphinx for 5. And has, whenever it comes, target of a spell or ability the first time each turn, counter that spell. And also can embalm it for 7. So my pool wasn't great. I managed to make a good synergistic deck, and I went undefeated going into the finals. So I won my first 2 rounds, 2-0 each. And actually, my opponents were fucking pretty cool. I'm going to go over the matches just a little bit about it. All right. And so, first round, I played against this black guy, Casey. He's just really fucking, I told him about a cast because, you know, sometimes you meet somebody at a fucking tournament like this or whatever, like a pre-release, and you just tell they're our kind of people.
Yeah.
And this guy was all,
it's pretty easy to spot our type of people.
I mean, like, we're just telling shit, and the guy's like making, you know, poking black jokes at himself the whole time, everything like that. So he's just a fun kind of, you know, boisterous guy, and I like, talked to him about shit. I guess he like does YouTube and different like editing things for a living. So he's like talking to us about wanting to help us out with fucking this and that. I'm like, okay, cool, fucking hang out, bud. You can get our YouTube shit back on track. But he's a lot of fun to play with. I ended up beating him 2-0, and he actually built a second deck. Because he wasn't sure which one he wanted to play with. And so I beat him 2-0 the first 2 games. And then so he's like, oh, you mind playing against me for my other one? So he played that deck against me. And, like, I had him down to 1 life with the God Pharaoh. Don't have the God Pharaoh on the field. So all I had to do was, like, end 1 turn with a tap creature. But he managed, but he had that, the black-green snake dude. When he does damage, put 1 counter on something. When you put 1 counter on something, you get a snake that has death touch.
Okay, yeah.
So he managed to come back from me being up 16 or 23 or something like that to 1 life. He had 1 life, and I couldn't. He managed to come back and win. And so from there, he played the rest of the tournament with that in hand, and he actually ended up coming in 3rd place overall to that.
Nice.
So that was pretty cool. He was just a good, fun guy. Second matchup was fucking hilarious. This guy got so salty, but not in an angry salt kind of way, like a, you know, kind of like how I do it, where I just kind of up the salt level on purpose, but, you know,
make it funny.
Yeah, so like this guy, both games I beat him, and both times he thought, okay, I'm going to get these guys on the board. I'm going to drop my fucking, the enchantment, not the cartouche, but the ones that bounce back your hand when the cartouche enters the field.
Right.
Yeah, the white one. So it gets all your creatures +2/+1 and vigilance. And he's like, okay, I'm going to get this out of the way. I'm going to this guy in the field. I'm going to drop this thing. I'm just going to fucking wreck your face. And I'm like, nope. So like, I pick off this creature, or I actually had the cancel. That was the game that I won, the game I won with the cancel, was he played that 6-mana spell where he bounced 2 creatures, and I had the 2 zombies in the field, and I had that cartouche on him. So it was a 3-3 zombie because I had my Liliana's enchantment.
Right.
And I had a 4-4 zombie with lifelink. And then I dropped the Aven Deuce, and then they had flying and vigilance. He's like, ugh. And then so he got some creatures on the field, and they pushing damage across, and he tried to cast the balanced creature spell on my zombies to, you know, just kill them off. And I had the cancel in hand ready for it. And he's like, no!
There's nothing better than playing limited and then casting a counter spell when it just fucking works.
Yeah.
More than half the time, it's just stuck in your hand and you lose with it in your hand. But there's those times where you're like, this is the perfect card for right now. And it just, it's a blowout.
Yeah, it was just great. And so like by the end of the game, when I won the match, he's like sitting there like, half flustered and red. He's wearing glasses. He's had to take the glasses off. His glasses are starting to sweat fog over. He's like, I'm just so fucking salty right now. God damn it. Good for you, and fuck you. And like, it was just a fun, good time. Nice. And then it came to Match 3 for the finals for first place. Playing against a little bit of an older guy. He's in our group, and like, as we're all making jokes, and the black guys yelling across the table about how he played. The first guy I played against my round two matchup, so they were playing over there like, oh, we're the salty crew. We're the fucking guys you beat over here. And he's over the table, and he's like, hey, you play that grave nigga again? Instead of grave digger, he's like, yeah, grave nigga. He's just having a good old time with it. Match three, the older gentleman was the Indian dude, but he was like being like uncomfortable about like the black jokes he's making about himself, and like talking about how he came to San Diego thinking it'd be more of a family place, and then he's like, but I don't have a dad, though, right? Like, I don't know. It's just like really good, funny time. Like, our kind of guy. You can talk shit about himself and like get it.
Yeah, especially when it's like a midnight pre-release.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. It was fun.
You know, maybe obviously if there's kids there, you know, kind of tone it down. But it's a midnight release. There's not usually a lot of like super youngsters there, so you can kind of get away with a little bit more than usual.
And so like my round three opponent though was like a middle-aged Indian dude. And he was uncomfortable for him or this or that. You know, he just wasn't getting it. And so he wasn't, like, a real fun guy to play against at all. But he ended up beating me 2-1 in the finals, so I came in second place to his first. So that was my personal pre-release. So
nice.
Had a couple fun pulls for my winnings and stuff. And cold-blooded Corey fucking pulled a goddamn Maelstrom Pulse enchantment deal. Invocation.
That son of a bitch. Yeah, he posted on Twitter. Like, I checked it when I got home, and I was like, oh, wow, he fucking pulled anything. And then I was like, oh, well, I hope the guys didn't pull anything, because I'll have to hear about that for a while.
Sauce might talk about the next cast when he's here, but he went 2-1, I believe, but he also had a bye one round where somebody just quit, I guess.
Ah, that's lame.
He didn't get packs because of it, because, like, just the point-wise or some shit. So
right.
He won one, lost one in his thing. He didn't get that great of pulls either.
Well, to wrap up the podcast, we're going to make it a little short this evening. I'm going to talk about, oddly enough, I was just talking about how people might lose faith in Standard and not want to play. And I have not been more excited for a Standard in a very long time. And I'll tell you why. It's because of a little card called Faith of the Devoted. That's right. For 2 and a black, it's an enchantment. Whenever you cycle or discard a card, you may pay 1. If you do, each opponent loses 2 life and you gain 2 life. Sure, that sounds like a horrible, limited, whatever. but if you've been listening to the cast for any amount of time, you will know that I have been trying to make zombies work in Standard for a long time. Grixis zombies, in particular. All around Prized Amalgam, Haunted Dead, the Stitchwing Scab, and some other ones. And this deck is fucking amazing. Pretty much you want to try and hit Faith of the Devoted on 3, and then just start throwing shit in the yard with Cathartic Reunion, Tormenting Voice, Collective Brutality. We also got Plethora of Kill Spells with Ruinous Path, Grasp of Darkness, and Unlicensed Disintegration. I find that I'm main decking Negate in more and more decks now.
That's a good standard, though.
Yeah.
There's different theories on one, like, when counter spells are good in Standard, it means it's a good standard fucking thing. And, like, there's different debates on that, but, like, I agree with that theory of when you're able to main deck a Negate in Standard, it's a good Standard format.
Yeah.
And it's starting to turn that corner, hopefully, away from the vehicles. And now that the combo's gone, hopefully this is what's happening, and I'm a fan.
Yeah, past couple of Standards, I've been throwing Negates in the main. But, you know, like, back in, like, the Mono Black days, like, you would not put Negate in the fucking main. What are you, crazy? so this deck basically wants to get Faith of the Fuck, I can't say that. Faith of the Devoted out, and then you just start cycling shit, and you just to them. And every once in a while, you'll get through with a 1-1 Spirit Flyer or the Stitchwing or something like that.
So my question for you real quick, basically just looking at this deck,
right,
is the reason you're playing Unlicensed Disintegration is just because instant speed, because you're not playing any artifacts here, so you're not getting the bonus.
100% correct. I was actually thinking that myself. I was like, why don't I just put 4 Ruinous Paths, and that way it covers Planeswalkers as well. It's just that this deck keeps up mana until your opponent's end step or their post-combat main phase. And the reason is because Prize Amalgam, you have to bring something back on their main phase, so Prize Amalgam will trigger. But yeah, just if they drop something, I need an instant speed answer to deal with it. And then sometimes it's not a big deal, and I sideboard it out.
Would you consider, I know part of the reason you don't play Fatal Push because of how much it costs, would you consider putting Fatal Push in this deck? Or at least some number of Fatal Push to unlicense and some kind of combination?
Maybe like a sideboard, just because I don't have a problem with the early drops so much as the later drops, okay, as in Torrential Gear Hulk and stuff like that, that really throws a stick in my bicycle spokes.
Jesus. Fucking gay.
But this deck can be super fucking gross to where on turn 4 I'm attacking in with 3 Prized Amalgams, a Haunted Dead, and a 1-1 Spirit, and I've already triggered fucking Faith of the Devoted a couple times. So yeah, it can.
When you discard, you have to pay in the Faith of the Devoted.
Yes, you just pay one.
Okay.
So all the discards are 2 mana, and then so like once you get to 4 mana, you mostly just stop playing lands and you pitch them to whatever you're, for discard, and then you're bringing shit back. Mostly, though, the zombies are just chump blockers.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main plan.
So it's an attrition-based deck, so it's just my kind of deal,
too. Yeah, you get the enchantment on the field, zombies are chump blocking, and I'm running 3 Fevered Visions. And
I love that card. It's like one of the spiciest brew rounds. I love that card.
And it's perfect for this deck because, sure, they're getting cards out of it, but they're getting hit with that 2 damage every once in a while, that 2 damage, or especially if it's a control deck.
That's the best. Because they're always getting so good. Yeah. It feels so good.
It feels so good.
It hurts.
So then, I keep getting more cards on my end step, and then I'm able to...
You can't counter a fucking discarded sacrifice or whatever from your hand.
Oh my god, it's so difficult to interact with this deck. That's the thing I love the most.
You want to kill a guy off? Cool, he's going to come back.
that's the thing that's great, is that after you kind of get set up, you don't cast any more spells. You're just getting cards and then triggering the abilities from the graveyard.
I want to watch you play this deck. So I'm stoked for
you. There's no way to interact unless you try and get rid of Faith of the Devoted, and then that's where the negates come into play. Or I just play another one and fuck you. And it's just amazing. And
that's sweet.
I go up against control decks, and they don't know what to do. They like keep their mana up, and then they just don't do anything on my turn, and they're like, fuck, well, what do I do? And then in the sideboard, we just got Dispels, Negates, Transgress the Minds, another Ruinous Path, and then 4 Radiant Flames, because I don't give a fuck if my shit dies.
Zombies.
I'm actually happy if my shit dies, as long as your shit dies too. So this deck is so much fun. I have such a fucking hard-on for Standard right now. I'm playing in the tournament practice room on MTGO, and there's a lot of brews. People are just testing out brews. So I haven't gone up against... I mean, I went up against like a green-black,
The counters, the snake, the winding constrictor.
Yeah. I went up that and fucking took that down. But I have not gone up against vehicles. So I'm really curious how it would go up against vehicles. But I'd say about 70% of the time I'm winning against other brews. And it's just a fucking horrible deck. Like, I just get down to like 4 life, and then it's just like, boop, 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 boop. I got chump blockers, and I'm up 4-6 life, and it's just, yeah. I'm probably going to make a video of this one because how much fun it is to play.
Do it, because I'm otherwise going to sit here and watch you play MTGO, because I'm very excited for this deck.
And people get fucking salty as shit. And
That's what you... I feel like that's like your main goal in Magic. Like, you make people... Like, you don't want to do like the Blood Moon Salt. You want to have the Jank Brew... gotcha Salt.
You didn't even think about
like
that,
Jason,
did
the
you?
Like the Hot Sauce, the fucking Palm, the Salt, you know?
So that's that's been all I've been doing is I've just been playing standard. I have another brew that I'll talk about next week. It's, you know how I was all excited about pre-ordering Kefnets? Well, it paid off because, boy, do I have a grindy-ass deck. That's amazing. And I'll talk about it next week. But that's all we have time for this week. This is episode 108 of If Lands Could Kill. All our contact information is in the show notes. Find us on Twitter. That's where we reside most of the time. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And we'll catch you guys next time.
Oh, I guess it would be nice if I could touch your body. I know not everybody has got a body like me, but I gotta think twice before I give my heart away. And I know all the games you play, 'cause I play them too. Showing you that door, run! Gotta have faith! Gotta have faith! Gotta have faith! Gotta have faith! Baby, I know you're asking me to stay. Stay, baby, please go away, 'cause you're giving me the blues. Baby, you might be all the words you say. Can't help but think of yesterday and another room. I'm showing you that door where I gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. Gotta have faith. Get the fuck up. How much longer can I tolerate this shit? Ego's trip when you're living on the flip side. Drop out of a uterus and die. Damn, I see you pointing your finger. You stereotype me 'cause you don't like me. Well, you don't even know me.